Welcome to Orchard Conversations, a podcast brought to you by the Orchard community.
Hey friends, Benjamin J. Thomas here. Welcome to our liturgy, our podcast. This is the Orchard community. We are helping people become who they've been created to be. Today, we celebrate the beginning of the Easter season. It's actually the second week of the Easter season. Did you know that? Did you know that Easter is actually a season, not just a singular holiday? It's kind of known as Eastertide in a lot of traditions. Eastertide, or in some even they call it the Great 50 Days. And it's that time that spans from Easter Sunday to Pentecost Sunday. And it's a part of the Christian liturgical calendar dedicated to celebrating the resurrection of Jesus and its implications for humanity, because it's kind of a big deal if you haven't picked up on that already by this point. And for us in 2024, it is a chance for us to recommit to this way of Christ and this way of hope, capital H, hope, way of hope, and open ourselves to ways that we can be used to bring this hope into the world that is right in front of us in a real practical way. So we invite you in on this season, friends, and we're going to begin our liturgy today with a prayer, and then we're going to sing together, and then Scott is going to bring us a teaching. So would you hold space for just God to be showing up in this place wherever you're at? Maybe take a couple of deep breaths with me. Ground. Commit yourself to being fully here and fully present as you listen to the podcast, as you watch the digital liturgy, as you gather with your friends and family. Now let's pray this prayer. It'll be on the screens if you're watching this. As we gather in the light of Easter, let us open our hearts to the promise of new life and resurrection. We stand in awe of creation's renewal, seeing it in the divine's artistry and the eternal cycle of rebirth. In our shared moments today, let the spirit of renewal breathe through us, reminding us of love's victory over darkness. May this gathering be a sanctuary where we see the divine in each other, embodying peace and radiating hope. Divine light, guide our actions and words. As we embrace the mystery of resurrection, inspire us to live out your love, carrying the Easter light in our hearts, igniting hope and renewal wherever we go. In unity and love, we pray. Amen.
A reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, starting with verse 19. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound at my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." This is the word of the Lord, as written by John.
Hey, what's up, friends? Welcome to the week after Easter, the week after triumph, the week after euphoria, the week after Easter lilies and brunches and trumpets and vigils and all that fun stuff. And so it's kind of ironic that every year on the second Sunday of Easter, we are taken behind locked doors where the disciples are huddled and hiding together in fear for their lives. Now, of course, their fear, it's not unreasonable at all. I mean, after all, this person whom they had put their trust, who they believed to be the Messiah, had given up everything to follow, was now dead. You know, the story in which they had invested their lives appeared to be over. And so it's no wonder they were afraid. I mean, as far as they knew, they were next in line. And so it's in the midst of their fear, and it's in the midst of their hiding that Jesus shows up and stands among them and brings them words of peace. But he also challenges them. You know, he says, look, you can't stay where you're at. You can't remain in the comfort and safety of this home that you're hiding in. Because as you can see, my story isn't over, which means that yours isn't either. So the writer John tells us that one of the disciples named Thomas, who was not there with them when Jesus showed up, had an interesting reaction when the disciples saw him. They said, "Hey, we've seen the Lord." And Thomas replies, and you heard it just a minute ago, but in verse 25, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers in them, and place my hand into the wound in his side." Thus the nickname, Doubting Thomas. Which, if I can just go on a little rant for a second, it's kind of funny because really, if you think about it, all he really did was ask for what the others had already received, including the opportunity to inspect Jesus' wounds. And if you think about it, it's really no different than the reaction that the rest of the 12 disciples had when the women reported their experience at the empty tomb, right? Do you remember that in Luke? Right? We're told that when the women told the apostles that the angels had told them that Christ had risen, they thought it was a bunch of crap. They thought it was a bunch of nonsense. They didn't buy it. So in defense of Thomas, right, to single him out as the doubting one, it's a little bit unfair, I believe. And on top of that, he wasn't hiding out in the house like the rest of them. So maybe he was the brave and courageous one. Anyway, but what I think is so powerful about this account is the fact that when Thomas says this to Jesus, Jesus does not reprimand him for his lack of faith. No, on the contrary, Jesus listened. Jesus took seriously what Thomas said he needed in order to believe, and he offers him exactly that, which I suppose really should not surprise us. I mean, as the writer of Hebrew tells us, Christ is not out of touch with the reality of what we experience. He's been through weakness. He's been through testing. Yes, he's even been through moments of doubt. So we can confidently approach Christ and ask for what it is we need, which is exactly what Thomas does, right? He said, "Unless I see this, I can't believe it." And Jesus, understanding where he's at, says, "Okay, take a look. Here it is." So sure, maybe Thomas should have been able to believe simply on the basis of what others had told him. And sure, maybe the other 10 should have believed on the basis of what the women had told them, but they didn't. And neither did Thomas. But regardless, Jesus met them right where they were at, not where they should have been. I love that. You see, this is not a story of judgment. It's not a story of reprimand. It's a story of hope and a story of promise. It is a story of faith and of trust. And it's a story that reminds us that doubt, listen, doubt is not the enemy of faith. No, in fact, quite often, faith needs the freedom of doubt and the freedom of questions in order to really spring forth and take hold in our lives. You know, so contrary to popular belief, doubt is not the opposite of faith. In fact, if anything, having doubts is often a sign that a person's faith has a pulse, that their faith is alive. I love Friedrich Buechner has this great quote. I've shared it before. Doubts are the ants in the pants of faith. They keep it awake and moving. So at the end of our gospel reading this week, the author John explains that while he had many stories and signs and wonders to select from for this book, he chose these specific ones for a single and all-important reason. And the reason was this, so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. So that you may come to believe. Friends, I don't know about you, but I'm grateful that the writer of John's gospel saw the story of doubting Thomas as an essential one to help us. And I love how just a few days after the shout, Alleluia, and sing, Christ is risen, that John invites us to face our doubts, to speak our fears, and to yearn for more. And perhaps more than anything, I'm grateful for the way Christ shows up in the midst of whatever it is we're facing, whether it's joy and triumph or fear and disbelief. And he shows up and he offers us those same and much needed words that he spoke to his friends. Peace be with you. Words that reassured them that his presence in their midst was not an illusion. It was not a hallucination, but that he really was alive, that their belief had not been displaced, and the story was not over. You see, their hopes had now been resurrected with Christ. You see, this promise of peace, and I love the word peace, it's the word shalom, is this promise of harmony and abundance and flourishing, which, friends, is God's intention for all of creation. And Jesus offers it to them. And he offers it to us, not just so that we can have it, so that we can be instruments of it. Right? I mean, think about this, that we would choose that peace to be our companions in our daily walk and our daily life. That it would be embedded within us and come out in our responses to the world around us. Peace be with you, Jesus says. Peace be with you as you do the work of Jesus in this world. Peace be with you as your witness to the love of God for all. Peace be with you as you speak up for those without a voice. Peace be with you as you love your neighbor as yourself. Peace be with you as you pursue the newness of life in Christ. Friends, peace be with you. Would you pray with me? God, thank you so much for so many beautiful and life-giving reminders today. Thank you, especially for your peace. It is a peace that gives us a sense of your presence amidst our chaos, our pain, our uncertainty, our struggles, our fears. It's a peace that reminds us that you, God, are with us in every season of life, and that you will provide a way to the future, even when there's no way of seeing what's ahead. Thank you for your peace. Friends, would you take a moment right now, whether you're alone or you're with others, would you take a moment? And I think we should just take a good deep breath in and a good inhale and a good exhale. And as you do that, I want you to, as you breathe in, receive peace. And as you breathe out, I want you to let go of fear and shame, anxiety and anger. Can we do that together? Let's take a deep breath in, breathing in the peace of God that passes all understanding. And breathing out fear, shame, and guilt, and anxiety. breathing in the peace of God, shalom. And breathing whatever it is, breathing out whatever it is that is not of God, that does not belong in our minds, in our hearts. Today, God, we receive your peace. And we thank you for it together in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And amen. Well, listen, I want to leave you with a couple of conversation starters or reflection thoughts to spend some time on. If you're the journaling type, these make some great questions to spend some time on. If you're with other people, maybe at one of our table gatherings, these are some great questions to just have some conversation on. So going back to what I shared just a few minutes ago, you know, oftentimes we might find ourselves in the same shoes as Thomas, you know, seeking and looking for tangible proof to solidify our beliefs. What I'd love for you to do is to reflect on a time when doubt played a significant role in your spiritual journey. Reflect on a time when doubt played a significant role in your spiritual journey. And I'm curious, how did this experience challenge or deepen your faith? And in what ways did your acceptance of doubt become a catalyst for growth as opposed to a barrier to belief? Here's another one. You know, Jesus, I love how, you know, Jesus did not chastise Thomas for his need to see and touch his wounds. Instead, he met Thomas right where he was at, offering him the evidence he needed to believe. And so I'm curious, in what ways do we seek to be seen and believed by those around us? And how can we offer that same validation and understanding to others? Here's another way of asking it. How can we acknowledge and validate others' spiritual journeys, even when they're different from our own? Friends, I'd love for you to spend some time on these. Let what you've heard, and this is what makes, when you hear this idea of God's word becoming alive, part of the reason we believe that is because if we allow it to actually do something in us, it actually has the potential to change us and to do something really good in us. So I hope that you'll take some time to maybe even go back and read our gospel reading for today. But I would definitely encourage you to spend some time on these questions. Friends, peace be with you. You are loved.
Friends, it is so good to be with you. Before we leave each other, there's a few things that I want to remind you. The first is that The Orchard is a fully independent organization and relies on our community to continue helping people become who God created them to be. To those of you who support this work financially, thank you so much. And to those of you who would like to join in that support, there are three simple ways you can do that. You can give online, you can give via our app, or you can give by mailing a check to our P.O. box. However you give, friends, know that we are grateful and that your giving is truly making a difference. The second thing I want to tell you is to remind you about our Society 57 fundraising gala coming up. We're calling it a community canvas because it's an opportunity for us to share with our larger community, the city of Aurora and beyond, what our vision is for Society 57 and the way that it can help shape culture and creativity and community through the space that we have created there. So if you would like to be involved, we would love to see you there. We'll put some links in the chat right now for ways that you can be involved, attend, etc. Friends, we want our community to know that Society 57 has The Orchard behind it, that there is a group of people whose values are wholeness and renewal and goodness and beauty and all these wonderful things that we want to bring to our whole city. And so, friends, this is an opportunity for us to share that message widely. So please be involved with the event, share the event, and keep the event in your heart as we go forward over these next few days. It's coming up next Friday, April 12th. And then our very own Benjamin J. Thomas will be in town for our second Sunday event at Society 57 in Aurora. So those of you who are in the Aurora area, I hope to see you there. It'll be a really fun, special weekend. And now, friends, I leave you with this benediction. Jesus says, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." The work of the church is not over. It has just begun. Go with joy where the crucified and risen Christ is sending you. And as you go, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen. Go with grace and peace, dear friends. Alleluia.